Johnson, your host on Sabbatical, coming to you from way off the grid. Before we get on to today's program, I want to slip this in. I am seeing two things happening that gives me reason to hope. Sure, the forces of evil have collected great force, are destroying much of faith, family, and freedom in the Western world. But at the same time, God is protecting the Christian family and the local church. The local church is going to be only more relevant in the years to come. The Christian family has been protected. Our children have been protected by God's provision for homeschool freedoms in 50 states and many countries where the Christian faith still retains some health. There are islands of freedom for families who want to avail themselves to them. The Christian medical sharing ministries were exempted in President Obama's health care bill in 2010. Christian families do not have to fund abortifacients by their insurance premiums. They do not have to submit themselves to increasing levels of medical rationing and state controls over their medical choices. They can't exempt themselves by availing themselves to SamaritanMinistries.org or some other medical sharing ministry. And by the way, you can support Generations by mentioning this radio program when you sign up for SamaritanMinistries.org. All of these are indications that God is good to us. God is protecting His people along the way. We have nothing to fear. With the rising tyranny from the left, what we need is faith and gratitude for what God has already done and what He's going to do. And thank you for your support. This is Kevin Swanson on Sabbatical Off the Grid.
Welcome into Generations with Vision. I'm Adam McManus in for Kevin Swanson. And as promised, we have a second visit with Carol Matriciana. She is the producer of a DVD entitled Harry Potter, Witchcraft Repackaged. And you can get a copy of it through her website, caroltv.com, caryltv.com. Today is Friday, October 31st. Today, children will be by the millions participating in Halloween activities from trick-or-treat to dress-up contests and dunking for apples. It might seem innocent at first blush, but as Carol clearly documents in her DVD and others associated in the same genre, there is nothing to be cutified about evil. Evil is evil. And I hope you will pay special attention, not just for your own children and grandchildren's sake, but for those of your friends who may not regularly tune in to Kevin Swanson's Generations with Vision. One of the issues that you address in the DVD, Harry Potter, Witchcraft Repackaged, is the curses and the lust for control. Many who defend Harry Potter say, look, Harry symbolizes white magic. He's a good witch. But you document that he didn't like Aunt Margie for something she said about his dead mother. What did he do to poor old Aunt Marge?
He cursed her and put a spell on her. And that's exactly what they believe in the power of their words. I mean, so here is Harry represented as a good witch, and apparently his power can be used for good, and yet he cast a spell on Auntie Marge, you know. And I think
it's shocking. And what happened to her? She got bigger and bigger and bigger and finally blew up. I mean, that's got to be a painful death. I mean, that's not some fun and games, ha-ha, wink-wink.
No, it isn't. And it, you see, it's made to look humorous because she writes it as, oh, gosh, she, you know, exploded and popped up. But these are horrible, horrible curses of death. It's a curse of death. And as we began, you know, as we discussed yesterday, we began discussing it and didn't carry on. But the tragedy is that Christian children love these books as well and are addicted to reading them. I actually, through the parents' request, they were pastors who asked me to speak to their daughter. This was a pastor and his wife, and she had become addicted to these Harry Potter books and read them and reread them. And even though I discuss such things as these curses and the wickedness of curses and the wickedness of what was being done in certain aspects of Harry Potter, she said no, that it was fantasy, it was okay. But she wouldn't give up the book. She would not. She totally would not see them as anti-Christian, opposed to God's gospel, God's, you know, in obedience to him, she wouldn't even think about repenting and not being involved anymore. And I think the tragedy is, like, in book number two, called Harry Potter and the Chamber of Secrets, we have this 17-year-old student who actually is the evil Lord Voldemort, and he tells Harry Potter, I mean, he was 17 when he came into the Hogwarts School of Witchcraft and Wizardry, but now he's since then become the evil Lord Voldemort. And he actually possesses this little 11-year-old girl, Ginny Weasley. And at Halloween night, Ginny says that she absolutely can't remember. She's got rooster feathers all over her robes, and She doesn't know how they got there, and she can't remember what she did on the night of Halloween. But a cat was attacked, she says. There was another attack today, and I don't know where I was. I think I'm going mad. I think I'm the one attacking everyone. And little Ginny Easley, while this is made to look like a fictional book and Harry Potter's only meant to supposedly quotes itself as being fantasy literature, here is little Ginny being possessed under the possession of the evil Lord Baltimore. And the school rooster was involved in killing, and she saw the killing of a cat.
Well, and let's be clear, the Bible is very specific. Jesus ministered to those who were possessed by demons throughout his 3 years of public ministry, that it is possible to become possessed by a demonic spirit if you're not a Christian, if you're not a believer, and that's exactly what is happening in the Harry Potter series. And so those who perhaps have one foot in the church and one foot in the world and are glad that their children are at least reading something, even though it might have what they consider just a tinge of witchcraft, they don't recognize the danger at play in terms of the minds and souls of their own children, do they?
No, and having come out of the occult, Adam, and I was a New Ager, and it's very serious because you get lured in thinking it all is working for good. But, you know, these Harry Potter students, I mean, hundreds and thousands of kids, 32 million kids all around the world are vicariously being taught witchcraft through these books and seeing the 9 occult teachers taking them through all sorts of aspects of paganism, witchcraft that are still being practiced today. And Christian kids are absorbing it and reading it. And I remember one conference I went to, and I spoke to a youth group, and one of the youth there had invited this young man who ultimately, as it turned out, in the end, he came up to me and he said, I'm a practicing witch, and I totally see what you were talking about with Harry Potter, and I want some prayer over me. And he actually repented, came to accept the Lord that evening, and was in our DVD called Supernatural Powers.
Wow.
You know, that's actually on our webpage as well.
There is a dramatic thirst, sadly, for this kind of evil that is so seductive and so addictive. 100 million books in the Harry Potter series in print in 200 countries, translated into 40 languages. One half, 50% of all children in America between the ages of 6 and 17 have read at least one Harry Potter book, and sadly, too many of them claim Christ as their Savior. You're listening to Generations with Vision. I'm Adam McManus, in for Kevin Swanson. My guest is Carol Matriciana, author and producer DVDs, I should say. This one, Harry Potter Witchcraft Repackaged. You can get it at her website, caroltv.com, caryltv.com. I would also recommend another resource. You can Google WorldNet Daily, Carol's name, and The Dark Side of Halloween for a great, succinct article that you might want to pass on to friends and family. Again, Carol, WorldNet Daily article, The Dark Side of Halloween. I'm Adam McManus. We'll be right back on Generations with Vision.
Everyone, pardon my noisy lawnmower. My name is Zadok, and as you can see, I'm out here growing a business and a family economy. You see, it all started last year with an idea to start a backhoe company. Like most five-year-olds, a backhoe is not among the personal assets. So with the help of my senior consultant, also known as my daddy, I came up with a plan of how to get one. The plan started with making pot holders, which I sold to anybody I could turn into a customer. Before long, I was able to buy this lawnmower and started a lawn mowing apprenticeship with my daddy and grandpa. I was even able to go to the Family Economics Conference last year and learn a lot about running a business. Oh, and that reminds me, you need to go to one of those Family Economics Conferences. In fact, there's one coming up October 2nd through 4th in Kansas City, Missouri, and another after that in Virginia on November 6th through the 8th. You'll get to eat free pizza and hear lots of great keynotes, panels, and workshops. You can register your whole family at familyeconomics.com. Well, I better get this lawn finished. I have a backhoe company to start.
Generations with Vision. I'm Adam McManus in for Kevin Swanson today. It is Friday, October 31st, the day that many children across America participate in trick-or-treating activities, and certainly you as a Christian parent need to be more aware of the seduction of evil that is everywhere, but especially in literature, children's fantasy literature like Harry Potter, the series. You need to get the DVD that Carol has produced called Harry Potter, Witchcraft Repackaged. And you can get that at her website, caroltv.com, CARYLTV.com. I'd love to hear feedback from you by way of email. My email address, talkradioadam@gmail.com, talkradioadam@gmail.com. Yesterday on the broadcast, I read two key scriptures related to what God's perspective is, and I think they bear repeating for those of you who might have missed the first installment of my conversation with Carol. 1 Samuel 15:23 says, "For rebellion is like the sin of witchcraft, and arrogance like the evil of idolatry." Clearly God says it is a sin. And in Deuteronomy 18:10-12, we read, "Let no one be found among you who sacrifices their son or daughter in the fire, who practices divination or sorcery, interprets omens, engages in witchcraft, or casts spells, or who is a medium or spiritist, or who consults the dead. Anyone who does these things is detestable to the Lord. Because of these same detestable practices, the Lord your God will drive out those nations before you. You must be blameless before the Lord your God." I'd like you to share with us how the lightning bolt is indeed a mark, a pagan mark, directly from the god Thor, the horn god, if you would, that's on the forehead of Harry Potter.
And on the forehead of hundreds of thousands of children that go to the Harry Potter movies and elevate their superhero and put the mark of the beast on their forehead. But yes, the lightning bolt representing the horned god Thor is half the mark that even the Nazi swastika, it was a symbol, you know, the two marks, the two lightning bolts, which were used in the swastika, emblem of power.
And Hitler had that lightning bolt symbol on the collar of the uniform of the Nazi soldiers, didn't he?
Absolutely. So, you know, here is a very powerful mark in the occult world being put onto the forehead of children, and it's a type of conditioning, Adam. I know people might think this is a far stretch, if you will, but we're told in the Bible that in the end, in the last days, children or people will put on the mark of the beast onto their foreheads. And here, Voldemort is called the beast, and the mark is absolutely sort of scripted in a scar in Harry Potter's forehead, and then his followers put that mark on themselves to show their allegiance to Harry Potter.
When I watched this part of the DVD about the witch's hats and the broomsticks, I was in shock. I had never, ever heard this before. What is the significance of the broomstick to the witch?
Well, she travels with power from curse to curse, place to place, power, spirit source to spirit source. So it's I know it sounds ridiculous to those of us who, or at least I have been in the occult, but it was a very powerful emblem.
A phallic symbol.
A phallic symbol, which exactly the same as the pointed hat and other things that are, yes.
And the unicorn is also phallic symbolism of the fertility cults, because so much of what the pagans are all about. And it's there in the Old Testament throughout. Many of the Israelites themselves participated in the pagan fertility cults and became sexually involved with pagan worship. And then, on the side would go to the house of the Lord. And God despised their double-mindedness and ultimately, you know, threw them out of their own land because of it. So it's something that we need to take seriously, isn't it?
Absolutely. And the idea of becoming one, of course, it's a marital in the Bible is, you know, the two shall become one. But in occultism, the idea of merging with the spirit world through a sort of spiritual sexuality, sensuality is the merging of one, which is, of course, in all the basis of all the fertility cults and goddess worship, mother god worship, you know, all of these things. The idea of blending the spirit world with the human world, which we're told not to do, is part of this sort of sensuality.
How would you compare Harry Potter with, let's say, Alice in Wonderland or the Sleeping Beauty? Or Snow White and the Seven Dwarfs. There are elements of evil in those other three, but do they elevate them? Do they actually educate the child about how to participate in that evil?
Well, I think, Adam, over the years, over the decades, witchcraft and the proselytization of the occult and paganism has become much, much, much stronger. So while the messages were very gentle a couple of decades ago, it was still promoting the power of witchcraft, even though those witches were seen to be evil in the Wizard of Oz. They were seen to be evil, but now, of course, in Harry Potter, it's not seen to be evil. Only the dark side is seen to be evil. Well, sadly, the white and the dark side both come from demonic forces, the same source, and the Lord tells us not to be involved. In fact, in Ephesians, it says, have no fellowship with the unfruitful works of darkness. This is Ephesians 5:11, but rather reprove them and abstain in Thessalonians, abstain from all appearance of evil. So, you know, whether it's called light or dark or white or black, we're not allowed to be involved in it. More and more today through these types of writings and through the movies, all of this has become familiar. What the Bible warns are familiar spirits. And in Leviticus 19, we're told not to regard familiar spirits. We're not allowed to seek after wizards. And yet, J.K. Rowling clearly said her book, the reason she wrote seven episodes was seven is the number of perfection, and after seven, they become a wizard. Well, in Leviticus 19, the Lord says not to seek after wizards, to be defiled by them. And then he says, I am the Lord your God. You know, you worship me, not these other powers pretending to counterfeit me.
Carol Matriciana, my guest here on Generations with Vision. I'm Adam McManus in for Kevin Swanson. The name of the DVD, Harry Potter, Witchcraft Repackaged, on this Friday, October 31st, as so many, even within Christendom, sadly, in America, allow their children to become a part of the Halloween festivities from trick-or-treating on down the line. Get the DVD at her website, caroltv.com, caryltv.com. We touched on it yesterday, but I think it bears repeating. Scholastic Incorporated, the publisher of the Harry Potter series, also supplies nearly every public school in America with products, reaching 32 million children each year. Now, the majority of our listeners are homeschool parents, and this is one of many reasons why they don't want them in government-run schools, because of this kind of antithetical to Christian agenda that is at play in the government schools today. But so many of our friends who name Christ as Savior, with whom we either go to church or we're neighbors down the street, their children are a part of this. And, of course, those children can potentially influence our children. In the last 20 years, talk about Scholastic and how they are now producing more and more materials featuring witchcraft, supernaturalism, and spiritism, and, of course, advocating for Harry Potter outright on some of their 35 grade school magazines to teachers.
Absolutely, and connecting them to Wiccans and practicing pagans and desensitizing the children who are embracing the pagan religion as tantamount to, equal to, any other religion. So basically, it's all part of the indoctrination and conditioning that all religions are equal And I know how difficult this is, Adam, because having been a homeschooling mum myself, my children would play with other Christian children whose parents didn't take biblical values as seriously as we did. And so our children were always in a quandary as to, well, so-and-so goes to church and so-and-so is a Christian, and yet they're allowed to do this and they're allowed to do that. And I think what I used to try and explain to my children is that there is a difference between biblical Christianity, those who want to follow the Bible and God's teaching and God's heart and God's opinions, versus churchianity, or a lot of Christianity which has become lukewarm or even cold. And sadly, a lot of pastors don't even recognize the reality of evil, that it is a very powerful source and it does exist, and that the spirit world in contact with the spirit world is contact with a very real evil that can be addictive. And myself, having come from the New Age, I realized how the use of my emotions, my subjectivity, and my imagination, which is a very important part of the occult and part of fantasy literature, is that children are encouraged to use their imagination, yet nowhere in the Bible is the use of imagination for spiritual purposes and spiritual power ever looked at as good.
I would love to receive emails from you wherever you might be listening to this broadcast. TalkRadioAdam@gmail.com. TalkRadioAdam@gmail.com. At one point, a giant, one of the characters in the Harry Potter series, introduces young Harry to the paraphernalia of witchcraft that Harry is going to use, taking him down something called Diagon Alley, sort of a spiritual supermarket or flea market, a street filled with cauldrons, owls, robes, wands. And what you do so beautifully in your DVD is you cut to this scene of an actual witch performing an actual pagan ritual using all the paraphernalia that witches today use in their rituals and ceremonies. This is not a stretch. This is not grasping at straws. This is a direct connection of children into witchcraft, and it's very disturbing, isn't it?
It's very disturbing, particularly as J.K. Rowling admits that she did very deep research. She wanted it all to be real. In fact, she wanted to supervise all the movies to make sure that the Harry Potter movies followed real witchcraft and not fabrications. So she is quite a promoter of the legitimate religion of witchcraft. And while people say, oh, nonsense, nonsense, no, this is a federally recognized tax-exempt faith. And we have to see that this is how they portray themselves, and they want to be represented according to their writings in a way that edifies them and doesn't make them look negative the way that they feel the public have done for them over so many years. They now want to look positive and influence thousands of children, which through Scholastic Inc. they're doing very well, which through Hollywood they're doing very, very well. You just have to go to the New Age section of any bookstore, huge, great, big, well-known bookstores, to see the hundreds of shelves and books being offered to children to get into Wicca and paganism.
Robert McGee, one of the experts you feature in your DVD, Harry Potter Witchcraft Repackaged, Carol, he is the author of The Search for Significance, and he says many Christian parents do not see the danger of witchcraft because they didn't experience any of that when they were growing up. They relegate witchcraft to Africa or some foreign country. He asked the rhetorical question, why has God warned us of witchcraft? Well, he knows the dangers. He knows the spirits behind witchcraft. He knows they are out to kill, steal, and destroy. He knows that those who use witchcraft have opened themselves up to these powers to come into them and to control them. They are allowing these spirits to potentially run their lives, where they become obsessive-compulsive about things, including illicit drugs or sex outside of marriage or abuse of alcohol. What do you say, though, to the parent who says, look, I let my children read Harry Potter, or I know Christian parents who let their children who profess Christ to read Harry Potter, and they're not casting spells and they're not doing anything that seems out of the norm. What's the harm in it?
Well, Adam, sadly, they are becoming desensitized. calling evil good, good evil. And by the way, if we take the world secularist, humanistic definition of good and evil, then we fall into this problem of syncretism. But if we take God's opinion, where he says that witchcraft is tantamount to the sin of rebellion, practicing any type of divination, practicing contact with familiar spirits, being involved in whatever, which is all about stars, moon, palm reading, whatever the various different things that Harry Potter books advocate, it is considered a doorway into the occult. So while these children may not be practicing these things at the moment, they're becoming desensitized. They're not having a clear biblical worldview of what God loves and what God hates. And so,
and what message is a Christian parent sending when they allow their children to, in a sense, by reading the Harry Potter series, dabble in the occult? I mean, they must think, much as if they take a science class at their government-run school that teaches Darwinian evolution, and their parents are teaching them creationism, they see the divide there, and they're going to side with their government-run school instructor. When they hear one thing at church or one thing at home about what evil is and what that witchcraft might be bad, but they now see something exciting in the Harry Potter series that makes witchcraft look perhaps almost good. As you said, Isaiah 5:20, they call evil good and good evil. It sends a mixed message, and ultimately I think evil will triumph if we allow this into the hearts and minds and souls of our children.
You're so right, Adam. We will allow evil to triumph because we are not sticking with God's definitions, God's measurements, and that's why Christianity has become so lukewarm. That's why the churches are doing exactly the thing that Jesus said, narrow is the gate, you know, to believing in him, but wide is the gate to destruction. And so what we've got is a very, very wide Christianity with many, many denominations that do not follow a biblical mandate and do allow their children to do things. And sadly, these are children that are going to fall away ultimately because they're confused. I mean, that's what happened with me. I was raised a Roman Catholic, and I was confused by the types of various different mysticisms and various different promises within Roman Catholicism. And ultimately, it led me into the New Age because I was seeking spiritual answers. And it wasn't until, you know, somebody came to me with a biblical faith and that I became a born-again, Bible-believing person that had a relationship with Jesus Christ. But children can become very confused.
We only have about a minute or so left, and I want you to address one final thing from the Harry Potter series, and that is the communication with the spirit world. There is this very clear philosophy of witchcraft, the notion of reincarnation, no longer the finality of death. Is that not something that is desperately unfortunate for any child to think that their death is not the end of their life? Obviously, they go on to eternal life, either in heaven or hell, we know that. But if they think they can come back as another person or as an animal, don't you think they'll be that much more inclined, perhaps, if they get depressed, to consider suicide?
Yes, they will, and that's exactly what happened with me. And the procrastination of death is a very, very horrible doctrine. And when you're in that lost place of hopelessness and you don't know what to do because you don't believe in any faith, so to speak, then you will turn to something that promises you power. And contact with the spirit world does give a power. There is no doubt about it. But the Bible says that they are lying spirits. These are doctrines of demons, and ultimately they will bring death and destruction. So I would encourage Christian parents, homeschooling parents of whatever ilk, to honestly come back to the heart of God, see what God thinks is good and evil, and not give a humanistic, secular worldview to your children. If you are keeping them out of government schools, go that inch further and really have them well grounded in the Bible.
Wicca teaches there is no absolute truth or sin, replaces the patriarchal God of the Bible with both male and female gods, and most pagans and witches believe they must talk with supernatural spirits, receiving wisdom and power for magical powers. It's just a very disturbing trend in not just America, but the world, and our children and our grandchildren are being seduced by it, and we need to be on guard. We need to be fierce about distinguishing between a biblical and an anti-biblical worldview for our children for the sake of their very souls. Get Carol Matriciana's DVD, Harry Potter Witchcraft Repackaged. The website, caroltv.com, C-A-R-Y-L-TV.com. You can learn more about me at adammcmanus.net, M-C-M-A-N-U-S.net. And you can shoot me an email, talkradioadam@gmail.com, talkradioadam@gmail.com. I'll see you next time on Generations with Vision.